Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
If you haven't yet, be sure to check out part one of this episode with our guest, Sarah Hall, available wherever you get podcasts.
And I think that's where it makes, I appreciate what you're sharing in that love and grace and still being able to say, okay, how can we create more supports for, you know, even, I think so often, and we've talked about, you know, the people who use abortion as a form of birth control. I still think of, you know, what we're able to do or not able to do in the sex trafficking world. You know, because there's no doubt, you know, abortion becomes a part of that as well, because there again, it's not like, you know, those children or, you know, individuals have the ability to make even a choice, you know, at that point. And that's, you know, put upon them. And so my head's just kind of spinning around this ability that we have to be able to help, you know, provide options. You know, for people who are in a place that I can't even begin to understand.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking a lot. But my head just
Mark does that to me too.
So. He does it to me all the time. It's always good things though. Yeah. It's always good, but he definitely gets you thinking. I just kept thinking about how I first started coming to CR and how I got to CR in the first place. I had a boss of mine that I worked for many years, and she was involved in Celebrate Recovery. And I was very much in my addiction at the time, and she had pulled me outside every single day and was just like, hey, you need to get your life together. There's this place called Celebrate Recovery. It's down the street. Like, just go. And she did that for a couple years until I finally did go to CR. And, you know, like, changing lives, changing minds, like, yeah, it does stem from love, but it stems from relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest impact that we can have as individuals is just that relationship, to offer that support and that love and getting to know people on a personal level and to say, like, hey, like, this is your problem. I love you. Like, let's figure this out together. You're not alone in this. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really just stems from a relationship.
Yeah.
And that relationship to some healthy individual, like a healthy relationship, right? Because there might be a lot of people in their dysfunction saying, well, I got relationships all around me. I got my ride or die partners, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, maybe that's not what we're referring to when we say relationship.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, no, because I agree with you 100%. And that's, you know, that's a big part of what I love about Celebrate Recovery is we call it our forever family, right? Like, you kind of come to a place where it's like there's some acceptance and love within those walls that binds you in a way that feels like family, which is incredible. And that's the kind of relationships we're talking about, not the kind that that accept you in your dysfunction, because, you know, like that codependent, like, I'll accept your dysfunction. You expect, you know, there's a song by what's her name?
I got it. I know it, Justin. No, I'm just joking with you.
Dolly Parton? Because I love Dolly. So,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Just got to throw that in there.
Sarah loves Dolly Parton.
There you go.
I'm not going to try to remember that. It'll come to me later. But, yeah, one of the things that
broken
was standing
people.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
That's what came to mind for me. I couldn't tell you who wrote it either, but
I got the melody in my head.
Oh, wow. Right, hum a little for us.
Nah.
Okay.
No, as you were talking, Mark and Sarah too, there's a verse that talks about where we'll offer comfort with the comfort we've been given. And I'm actually going to read it because often we kind of summarize them. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, which I think is so cool, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. which is a mouthful, but essentially saying like when we go through stuff, that stuff God often uses to help encourage others, which again, I just want to reiterate, thankful for your bravery to talk about the subject. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an opportunity that you are doing that, right? Like, but in the situation of offering hope in that situation, a lot of times it's going to be someone like yourself or some, you know, someone who's been comforted in that way. And I would speak to those who haven't, okay? Those who haven't gone through that or haven't come to that close of making that decision, whichever side of that decision they fell on, to say, maybe just chill. Like, lead with love, lead with acceptance. Because I think another verse that came to mind, my brain was just going. And another verse that came to mind that I think often might be problematic for people in that situation is, to him who knows it's sin but doesn't do it, or something like, actually I have that too because I didn't want to butcher it. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. And I think a lot of times we lead with that when we are trying to help others, like, well, I know that's a sin, therefore you shouldn't do it. That's really not what the verse says. Like, if you look at it, it's talking about personal conviction. And so they might feel like, I personally feel convicted that, you know, abortion is a sin and, you know, I shouldn't do it. But I think there are other verses you can show to say, well, here's what God's word says about, you know, the womb inside your body and all that good stuff. And that's fine. But again, often we lead from a place of conviction for our own lives and we place it on someone else who doesn't have those convictions. Mm-hmm. And what that ends up doing is creating distance. And so you create a deficit in relationship, right? Like, and so instead of bonding in a relationship of understanding and support, you're actually separating yourself. You're creating a greater division. You're creating a me versus you, and you do things wrong, I do things right. And all, and that relationship aspect, that is part of that healing balm of love and grace, kind of disintegrates, I think, when you lead with those things. But again, in that loving, gracious place of saying, I can't imagine, whatever, that doesn't mean there's not opportunities to speak the truth. And by the truth, I don't mean what I believe, but I can say, well, Here's some verses that maybe you can use to consider as you know prayerfully consider this decision. I don't know. Yeah. That's what my brain is.
And I appreciate that because I'll be honest, that whole verse where, you know, Jesus, I think Jesus calls that out in us because there is this moment where, you know, he enters, you know, I think it was Paul's house, not Paul. He has the discussion. Basically, he entered one of the disciples' homes, and that's when the woman comes in and, you know, wets his feet with her tears and wipes it and anoints his feet. And, you know, he shares that verse of, you know, I came into your home, you didn't even wash my feet. She hasn't even necessarily, she wet my feet with her tears, that kind of thing. You know, the person who's been forgiven much loves much. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see in you, Sarah, in that aspect of being able to recognize that you recognize that you've been forgiven. There's been this process and you're able to share that in a way that says, I desire to love more people and bring love to people because of what I've experienced. And I think that's the way you're sharing that, in that sense of he who's been forgiven much. And I think so often what you're referring to in that difference is we don't always recognize how much we've been forgiven.
Yeah.
You follow me? And I think that's the beauty of it, when we can recognize that, no, we've all been forgiven much. It's just my job to recognize that. And I think, you know, when we, you know, as you shared, you know, you wrestled with that. And I think that is, if anything, ignited that love that you have in return for who God is, based on that wrestling, that pain you went through, and recognizing that the grace still abounds even more. And that's ignited your love for him, or promoted that love for him in a way that nothing else could have. And so that's kind of where I was, as the verses were coming and the mind goes. And I think I appreciate your willingness to share that in a way that is conveying love to other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, no problem.
You know, to be forgiven much, we have to mess up a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've all messed up a whole lot, like what you said. And, you know, going back to abortion, it is, there's no other sin that really compares to it. All sin is equal in the eyes of God, absolutely. But when it comes to a human suffering, like, there's really no comparison to that. And, like, what mentally and physically you go through is kind of what I'm referring to. But I guess a good way to kind of think about it is, for somebody that hasn't had an abortion, that hasn't had, like,